I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught. Find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle. And then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you today, Aaliyah?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to have you on this one, because I know you've hit a very busy time of your life right now. How are things going with school and everything?
Yeah, it is definitely very busy. I have like 10 or so classes, and then I'm also working at the MDC, and I also am supposed to be practicing my instrument for 9 hours a week.
Which is, so, what is your instrument for those who don't?
It's voice. I sing. That's my instrument for my major, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you count singing in the shower or the car?
If I sing in the shower, I could count it, but I do not.
Well, thanks for taking out some time to be with us. And you're also a temple worker, which is awesome, but also just, you know, as part of your busy schedule. So we're glad to have you today. Mm-hmm. Any invitations you've been working on while you've been busy?
I think I said this last week too, but just like doubling down on my scripture study goal. And I specifically this week made sure I was doing it before like 5 p.m. was my cutoff. Mm-hmm. Because if I didn't do it before 5, then I would do it like right before bed, and then it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So just like awesome. Making adjustments to when I'm studying.
Excellent. I think many people live very busy lives, so that you're a great example of putting that big rock in first and then filling up around it. So great job. Mm-hmm. Also, we have today Rivka and Burke. Rivka, how are you?
I'm doing so good.
Awesome. Glad to have you back.
Be here talking about this.
Any invitations you've been working on?
Yes, but it's an invitation kind of a little bit narc from the last thing that we talked about, that conversation, but we didn't really go into invitations, so we didn't talk about it then. But one of the things that they brought up in that was that the people who had come to hear had been preparing in the weeks and months ahead, because that, you know, they do that. They'll like read this or think about this thing and come prepared with questions. And so he said the preparation that people took to be ready for today, my job is to not mess that up, because much of the really good stuff that people need to learn, they've already learned. It will be enlarged upon here today. That's the reason why preparation is so important. Faith in the Savior is the principle of action and power. We act in accordance with his teaching, then we are blessed with his power. You have to act first, and then the power comes. And so the invitation that I felt the Spirit give me in that was in reference to this next upcoming conference and spending some dedicated time preparing myself to be able to listen to conference so that the Spirit can teach me the things I need to know, regardless of what spoken about a conference.
Awesome. I love that. So prepping for conference, which is very close at hand.
Yep. Love it.
Great. We also have Burke today. How are you today, Burke?
Doing fantastic.
Awesome. You shared in the last podcast episode an invitation that you had responded to. So I think we've got you covered for today on invitations. Does that sound okay?
It's wonderful.
Awesome. I have been working on a variety of invitations. One that I just started today is, it's been on my list for a long time to study more about the names of Christ. And I've been doing that in my study by highlighting those and then slowly moving towards like studying on what each of those means and what they are. And I started reading a book today by Elder Holland about that topic, recommended by a friend of mine who listens to the podcast. So you know who you are. Thank you for the recommendation. And I am like 5 pages in, but I am starting it and I'm really looking forward to reading it. So awesome. Well, today we are going to continue with part 12 of our talk on Elder Bednar's conversation on leadership enrichment. And we expect this to be 12 of a 48 part series. So no, actually, we're going to talk about There Are Many Gifts by Elder Marvin J. Ashton of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from the October 1987 General Conference. This is an all-time classic talk, and thank you to Steve, a listener from the UK, who submitted this recommendation to us. We all really loved it and looking forward to talking to it about it today. So, Aaliyah, let's start with you. What was the fundamental doctrine that you pulled out from this talk?
The fundamental doctrine for me came at the very end where he says, God does live, he does bless us with gifts. And I just liked the simplicity and like hardcoreness of those statements. Just like, this is how it is. Like, he lives and he does give us gifts. It's like non-refutable. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I love it. Well, we'll get into the gifts here, obviously, in a little bit, but thank you for sharing that. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
It comes from the first paragraph of this talk, and I think for me it was that because remember how a few talks ago we heard from Elder Stanfill, The Imperfect Harvest was the name of that talk, and it, like, pummeled my ego about some stuff. And Elder Ashton, in this beginning thing, it says exactly what Elder Stanfill is talking about. He says, one of the great tragedies of life, it seems to me, is when a person classifies himself as someone who has no talents or gifts. When in disgust or discouragement, we allow ourselves to reach depressive levels of despair because of our demeaning self-appraisal, it is a sad day for us and a sad day in the eyes of God. For us to conclude that we have no gifts when we judge ourselves by stature, intelligence, grade point average, wealth, power, position, or external appearance is not only unfair, but unreasonable. I love that.
Boom.
Punch in the gut, number 2. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's high on the Bednar index, right?
High, yes.
So why did that hit so hard for you, Rivka?
This is something I struggle with. And I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but this is, this talk was good for me in that he expands on gifts that are less common or less thought about, you know, not things like musical talent or things that are visible. So it was good for me to be able to read through, not only for me, but, like when I look at myself, but it helped open my eyes to gifts that I can be looking for in other people as well to appreciate.
Awesome. I love that. And just for clarity, maybe this is like super theologically nerdy or pedantic or whatever, but
great.
He's using gifts and talents close to interchangeably here. I think by the strictest definition, a spiritual gift is one that you have to have bestowed upon you by the Lord that the Spirit has to be present for you to use. But often when he talks about gifts here, he's referencing sometimes those types of gifts, like say the gift of healing, you know, that's a scenario where the Lord has to bestow it upon you. You have to have the Spirit with you. But he's also talking about talents or like more sort of gifts that are things the Lord has given to you throughout your lifetime that you develop. So anyways, I think we're going to kind of use those interchangeably throughout our discussion here. So,
well, and I think Elder Bednar in the last one, people go have listened to it. He talks about how the spiritual gifts are things that, like he said, we almost are conduits. They flow through us in times of need when we need to serve others.
Yes.
And that's a helpful reminder too, because that has, so like the gift, they're not defining characteristics or traits. He said they're not traits that we develop. And that's an important thing because I think that that's part of what messes with my head sometimes. And I know I'm not, you know, I've talked to other people. I know I'm not the only one where we think it has to be this character trait, or it has to be something that we're practicing and becoming good at, like musical talent, like something like that. And that's not at all what this is. It's God's power and God's characteristics that flow through us.
Great. Yeah. I love it. Awesome. Well, let's move on to Burke. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
This goes very nicely with all the things that Rivka just talked about, but he says here, we must remember that each of us is made in the image of God, and there are no unimportant persons. Everyone matters to God and to his fellow men. I just like to remember sometimes that I matter to God. I feel small, but I matter, so.
I love it. Beautiful. You do indeed. And because you matter, he has given you gifts, as he has given to all of us. Whether it be throughout our lives or individual points in our lives, we have all received spiritual gifts. Well, let's talk about some of those gifts. I think one of the most famous paragraphs from this talk just gives a huge list of a bunch of lesser known spiritual gifts. So Aaliyah, maybe you could start by reading that paragraph and then maybe talking about one of those gifts that stood out to you.
Yes. He says, let us review some of these less conspicuous gifts. The gift of asking, the gift of listening, the gift of hearing and using a still small voice, the gift of being able to weep, the gift of avoiding contention, the gift of being agreeable, the gift of avoiding vain repetition, he says as he repeats the gift of over and over again, the gift of seeking that which is righteous.
Wow.
Just thought it was ironic. Not that he's a repetitious man, but...
You were kicked off the podcast. That's it.
Let me continue. The gift of seeking that which is righteous. The gift of not passing judgment. The gift of looking to God for guidance. The gift of being a disciple. The gift of caring for others. The gift of being able to ponder. The gift of offering prayer. The gift of bearing a mighty testimony. And the gift of receiving the Holy Ghost.
So before you go on, Aaliyah, that's an incredible list. I want to read the next paragraph real quick, and then I'm going to change my question just a little bit. So okay. He says, we must remember that to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. So everyone has a gift. And as Rivka was talking about, sometimes we sink into despair and feel like we don't, but we all do. It is our right and our responsibility to accept our gifts and to share them. God's gifts and powers are available to all of us. So which one of these lesser known gifts, Aaliyah, have you received in your life? And which one have you sought for or are seeking for?
I think I've received the gift of looking to God for guidance and the gift of being a disciple. And I think I have sought for in the past, kind of, the gift of bearing a mighty testimony. And it's been really cool to see the effect it has on other people as I've sought that gift and then borne my testimony.
Awesome. Do you have any examples of that?
The most recent example is just with my district of missionaries that I'm teaching right now. That was a goal that I had set as a teacher, was to bear my testimony more frequently. And so I started really focusing on that and trying to do it once every hour, just like at the end of the section that we did. And I could tell every time that I did that they could feel the weight of it. And I don't think I felt quite that gravity as in like coming along with my testimony as I have in the last few weeks. So that was really cool.
Awesome. I love it. And you've emphasized something that through your story that is in this talk and that Elder Benner talked about, and that is that to seek and receive these gifts, we have to try to purify our motives and we have to have the desire to help others rather than to enlarge ourselves. So what has that experience been like for you in turning outward to help others with your gifts?
I think since my mission, I have found a lot of like, it's just very grounding to have that as a motivation, helping others as a motivation, instead of, as much as I am very driven by my own personal goals and achieving my own personal ideas and accomplishments, it is just as valid of a motivation for me now to do it for someone else. And I think it is almost a little more rewarding when you're doing it for someone else and then you see that play out in their lives. Like, you did something good, not just for you, but like for another person. It's really cool.
Awesome. So if you get over the sort of initial stage of wanting to do something for yourself, even if it's for self-improvement, and you focus on the other person, that turns out to be a more rewarding and purposeful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, Rivka, which of these lesser-known gifts have you received in your life, and which one, not all of them, just one of each that you've sought?
I think one that I've received is being able to ponder, which is a spiritual gift for me sometimes, because, like I mentioned before, I am easily distractible. And so sometimes I'll begin reading scripture or doing something else, and then something comes up. In fact, often I leave and go sit in a bookstore if I need to study, because if I'm at home, I'll start meandering around home. I try to do 500 things at once, and it's not helpful. But there are times when I need to be able to ponder, and so there are times I've been blessed with that spiritual gift, which I know is not coming from me naturally. And then, as for one that I prayed for, I think I've prayed for a lot of these, but at different times. But in keeping with your joke about this being another part of all the bed nurse talk that we discussed, because I learned so much about spiritual gifts from that thing we discussed last time.
Yeah.
A conversation. He talked about spiritual gifts. And Aaliyah, this goes to your point too, that spiritual gifts and the development of meekness as kind of the foundational spiritual gift, it only can happen if we're doing it for other people. If we're seeking it for ourselves, he's like, you can pray to receive these spiritual gifts, but if it's because you just want it, or like, so other people think you're spiritual or because of this, he's like, good luck getting that prayer answered. You need to do it for other people. And so I think now my answer for which of these would I pray for wanting, I think my answer would be, I would pray that I would receive whatever gift it is that the Lord knows that I need in order to serve the way he would have me serve.
Awesome. I love that. That reminds me of Elder Eyring, that talk, I don't know how many conferences ago, where he said, here is a prayer that works. Lord, what is thy will and how should I accomplish it? You know? Awesome.
Yeah.
Rivka, under pondering, he breaks down a few of these gifts, and the first one is pondering. And he has the last paragraph in that section just has your name written all over it. It says, pondering is a progressive mental pursuit. It is a great gift to those who have learned to use it. We find understanding, insight, and practical application if we will use the gift of pondering. So that was
what happens.
Yep. Something I wouldn't know, because that's one of my least manifested gifts is pondering. What's the opposite of that? The gift of not sitting still and always moving? That's my gift. So you're a great example to me. Well, let's move to Burke here. I want to ask you the same question, Burke. What is one of these gifts you've received and one that you've sought?
So it will probably come as no surprise to anyone who knows me and or has listened to the podcast for any length of time, but I have the gift of asking.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Many questions. And it has many times led me also to a little bit of the gift of pondering, because I have to try to find answers for the questions. But the one that I'm going to use the word wish, even though it doesn't seem like the right word. The one I most wish that I had, and that I would say I'm working on this, but mostly I just pray for it because I don't think it's a thing I can change in myself, is the ability to use a still small voice.
Ooh.
When there are things I care about, I tend to speak about them in a way which appears like I can broach no disagreement from those around me. Brooke, no disagreement from those around me. Like, I get excited about things and I speak about them forcefully, and it can be kind of alienating to people around me. And I don't want to be that, because I want to have good discussions and I want to learn from others and be able to teach others as well. And in order to do that really well, you need to use a still small voice. That is what people are receptive to. So that is, and this has come up, you know, in previous podcasts when we've talked about meekness and spiritual poise or Christ-like poise. I think these all kind of wrap together into this same thing.
Yeah. I love that, Burke. And I love how you applied it to yourself. You know, I always think of the still small voice as being something the Spirit uses, but he applied it to us as well, just like you did when he discussed it. And one of the sentences that really stuck out to me was, soft and small voice communications with our associates make priceless friendships possible. And that is not something I ever considered before. So even though I've read this talk before, so I think that's absolutely incredible and a gift to be sought. So I enjoyed that. Well, I will also share, and then we'll move on to other parts of the talk or other things we want to discuss. So I feel like I've had the gift of listening in the past. And an example of that is, you know, I conducted many, many, many interviews when I was bishop, and did a lot of listening in that, in those, many times saying very little. I had one interview where I literally sat in silence because I knew somebody had something to say, and we sat there and I heard, there's an analog clock in my office and you could hear it ticking. We just sat there listening to the clock go tick, tick, tick for like 20 minutes and nobody said anything. And I was just constrained by the Spirit to just wait and just listen. And finally, that person had some important things to say and they said them. And, but I just had to sit and listen. So, the gift of bearing a mighty testimony, Aaliyah, the like father, like daughter, I guess, or like daughter, like father. I prayed for that for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And I never really felt that I received it. And I felt like I just wanted, you know, what I wanted was prideful, right? I wanted to bear a mighty testimony and then have my congregation, my ward, transported to the city of Enoch, you know, because we were all so righteous. And it was definitely prideful. And so I had to approach that with Elder Eyring's, you know, approach of, all right, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to say it? And then it became powerful. And I had a great experience with that this year. Bearing a testimony on something that I felt strongly about personally, but also that I felt prompted for months ahead of time to talk about, and that the Lord was really guiding what I said. And it really was a different experience than when I said what I wanted to say. So that was awesome. Okay, let's move on to other parts of the talk. Aaliyah, what else did you want to highlight here?
Yeah, so when he's talking about pondering, he is mentioning that it can help when we're studying the scriptures. But I thought it was really interesting because he says, today, millions at President Benson's encouragement are reading the Book of Mormon, some for the first time, others as a regular habit. And I just thought it was really cool that even, I don't know, I can't do math, however long ago this talk was given, the leaders of Christ Church are still giving the Book of Mormon as a goal that we should all have to read that. And that's something that President Nelson has emphasized a lot, especially right when he was called. I feel like that was a very common thing. Now he's kind of switched gears to the temple a little bit, but it was just really cool to me to see. It's not really related to spiritual gifts at all, but it was a cool little historical time capsule moment to realize that God is still wanting us to read the Book of Mormon. Like, he's been asking that of his people for a really long time. So
yeah, since it was published. So I love it. Awesome. Rivka, how about you? What else did you want to highlight from the talk?
Under the gift to care, okay, he talks He says how grateful we should be for families, friends, and organizations who care. They make life easier and more meaningful. They too reap rewards in their Christ-like caring when they serve for the right reasons. Leaders on every level should be primarily interested in rendering compassionate caring for others. And I appreciated that. I took some time this week pondering back on various leadership callings I've had and on, you know, the leadership roles that I have in my home and family, and thinking of ways that I could have done better or continue to do better on having rendering compassionate caring be the primary interest. It's really easy in leadership to get caught up in business stuff, you know, and to-do lists and different responsibilities. And I just thought that was such, those are just such wise words, that if we want to lead in any way, we need to be primarily interested in rendering compassionate caring for others.
I love it. So focusing on ministering and not just administering.
Yeah. I mean, it is the way, it's the reason that the Savior was such a powerful leader during his mortal ministry. It's what brought people to him initially, was the compassionate caring. And then he could teach and he could build and he could help. But the people came because of his compassionate caring to others. Awesome. There's a lesson to be there, learn there. Yeah.
I love it. Not to downplay administering, by the way, because there is a gift of administration mentioned in the Doctrine and Covenants as well. So, but certainly yeah. People are the most important thing, and caring comes before, you know, holding meetings by far.
Yeah, President Monson's like famous, it's more important, like people are more important than, wait, what is it? Let me think about this just a second. They're not problems to be solved. Like people are things to be loved and not problems to be solved.
But, yes, yes, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, Burke, what else did you want to highlight?
All right, I loved this quote. Contention is a tool of the adversary. Peace is a tool of our Savior. What a wonderful tribute we pay people when we describe them as being gentle, firm, and calm. And that probably goes along with what I just talked about last time. But yeah, I want to be someone who can be described as that, and I don't believe I am that person currently. So lots of work to do there, or just lots of praying for the gift, I guess.
Indeed. Both things, probably, right? Work and pray. I thought it was pretty interesting in that section, Burke, when he said there's never been a time what is more important for us as members of the church to take a stand, remain firm in our convictions, and conduct ourselves with calm assurance under all circumstances. We must not be manipulated or enraged by those who subtly foster contention. I mean, I feel like we've had similar statements, right, recently, and maybe the times just keep getting more and more and more intense, and this quote is evergreen and always applies. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, if it is a tool used by the Savior, it's not going to go out of style.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Nice. Okay. That's a great way to think about it.
Well, I probably shouldn't say that because from the world standpoint, it absolutely will go out of style. But for those of us who seek to follow him, it is a tool we should still use.
Okay. Well, I have one other question for all three of you, and that is, what other less commonly mentioned gifts have you seen or experienced in your life that aren't in this talk and aren't in the scriptures? You know, the common scriptures like Moroni, D&C, Corinthians. So Aaliyah, any come to mind of less commonly mentioned gifts?
I think the gift of understanding, whether that's understanding other people or understanding like God's plan or maybe the purpose of certain things that happen.
I like that, the gift of understanding. That's something we all need at different times in our life. So that's a great one to pray for. Rivka, how about you?
I don't know what to call this gift, but when we were just first married and I had my first son was just a tiny little baby, and I that we were in medical school, and I had a friend who, when we would get together with people, she just remembered things about people. Like, we'd meet up at the park and she'd see someone she knew and she'd be like, how was your sister's surgery? And these are not like, it's not her best friend. It's like someone she saw at the park 2 weeks ago. And I was like, I don't even know. She did it all the time. And I was so impressed by that because I was like, I can't even remember to ask about things sometimes with like people I visit teach or my own siblings. I don't know. I just am not good at that. And so I got a notebook. And when I would go visiting teaching or after I would have conversations with people, I carried that notebook around all the time and I would write those details in there that I wanted to remember to ask about. It was just such a compassionate showing and like seeing that individual person and connecting with them. I do not have that gift naturally and she did. So I don't know what to call that gift, but that's one that I still to this day am always so impressed by when I see it in people and want to practice and emulate.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic. And a gift I would love to have. Deanna's really good at that. She's especially good. I remember we'd be like 15 years after our wedding. I'd be like, why don't we throw this thing away? What is it even for? She's like, no, so-and-so gave it to us for a wedding. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? How do you remember that? But some people can just have those memories and specifically as they relate to people. Okay, Burke, how about you? Any other gifts that weren't mentioned in this talk?
This one's a close relative to what Rivka just said, but the gift of remembering names. I've heard that our current prophet has that, and I 100% do not have that. But wow, what a great, just one of those people who just remember everybody's names. They bring light to all around them because we all love to hear our name. So,
that's a beautiful way to think of it. Fantastic. Well, let's move on to invitations. Aaliyah, do you have an invitation for us that you found?
Yes. At the very end of the talk, he says, as we develop and share our God-given gifts and benefit from the gifts of those around us, the world can be a better place and God's work will move forward at a more rapid pace. So the invitation is develop and benefit from gifts. And then the blessing is that the world will be better and God's work will be faster.
Awesome. I have a quote related to that suggested by you, Aaliyah.
Ah, yes.
The Bednar Index, I'm just going to preface it because I think it needs it. The Bednar Index on this quote is like a 12 out of 10. All right.
So. Yeah, it's pretty scalding. Prepare yourselves.
If you are susceptible to the Bednar Index, you might want to fast forward. And it's quite long as well, but here it goes. It's from George Q. Cannon from Gospel Truths, Volume 2. And it is as follows. How many of you are seeking for these gifts that God has promised to bestow? How many of you, when you bow before your Heavenly Father in your family circle or in your secret places, contend for these gifts to be bestowed upon you? How many of you ask the Father in the name of Jesus to manifest Himself to you through these powers and these gifts? Or do you go along day by day like a door turning on its hinges without having any feeling upon the subject, without exercising any faith whatever, content to be baptized and be members of the church and to rest there, thinking that your salvation is secure because you have done this? I say to you, in the name of the Lord, as one of His servants, that you have need to repent of this. You have need to repent of your hardness of heart, of your indifference, and of your carelessness. Ouch. There is not that diligence, there is not that faith, there is not that seeking for the power of God that there should be among a people who have received precious promises we have. If any of us are imperfect, it is our duty to pray for the gift that will make us perfect. Have I imperfections? I am full of them. What is my duty? To pray to God to give me the gifts that will correct these imperfections. They are intended for this purpose. No man ought to say, oh, I cannot help this, it is my nature. He is not justified in it, for the reason that God has promised to give strength to correct these things and to give gifts that will eradicate them. That is the design of God concerning His children. He wants His saints to be perfected in truth. Wow. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
So maybe the way we would phrase it in 2023 is sometimes we live beneath our privileges, and God has promised these gifts. We all have these gifts, even if we don't recognize them, and we can and should seek them to enrich the lives of those around us. So, all right, let's finish up with Rivka and then Burke. Any other invitations here?
Ooh, so my invitation right at the end, as we develop and share our God-given gifts and benefit from the gifts of those around us, the world can be a better place and God's work will move forward at a more rapid pace.
Awesome. Yeah. And Burke, anything else?
All right. He says, we should learn to talk together, listen together, pray together, decide together, and avoid all forms of possible contention. We must learn to curb anger. This really feels like it could have come out of last conference.
It feels like it did come out of last conference.
Exactly.
Oh, fantastic. There's always a need for peace among the saints, right?
And I just wanted to add one more thing because it was requested last week and I was not prepared. But oh. Preston Hinckley would probably say right now, if you do your best, it will all work out. Put your trust in God and move forward with faith and confidence in the future. The Lord will not forsake us.
Yes. Thank you, Burke.
Amazing. Amazing.
That is uncanny. Like, uncanny. So good.
You might say it's a gift.
Oh, the gift of mimicking prophets.
I love it.
Oh, I honestly, like, it's so good that it's close to the feeling I get when I actually hear his voice, you know?
That's why that's why I feel like I should only use quotes here on the podcast, because I don't want to put any words in his mouth.
So. That's true. Because, you know, he's the prophet of our youth. And so I get all the feels when I hear his voice. So thank you, Burke. I appreciate that. Okay, well, the next time you will hear us is after General Conference. We're going to do a General Conference recap, and we will discuss sort of themes we heard and our experience listening to General Conference. In the meantime, you can get a hold of us on social media or by email. Aaliyah is going to tell you how.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook or Instagram, Words of the Prophets Podcast.
All right. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.